I can get up every morning because I've opened up my life to the grace of God and say, God, what are the good works you have for me today? What adventure do you have for me today? How can I love God and love people today? How can I step into good works today? What's the mission you have for me today? How can my life take on eternal significance today? Because I know you have good works for me today. Not to us, but to your
name be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Believe. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of So Great a Salvation.
There is a need for grace. Salvation is by grace through faith, and every one of us needs it. This passage explains that there's a tremendous blessing when we come to understand this message and respond to this message. It says this in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The blessing that comes from salvation is that we are completely identified and made new with Jesus Christ. And it's all because of what God does. It says in this passage that even when we were dead, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ. It's by grace we've been saved. You see, it's so clear that this awesome gift of salvation is wholly a work of God. It's his love, his mercy, his grace that makes it possible. And his love, his mercy, and his grace is towards me and it's towards you. Every one of us is a candidate for this salvation by grace through faith because of the love, mercy, and grace of God. In fact, the whole Trinity is involved in our salvation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Wow. I don't claim to understand everything that's said there, but it's pretty clear. God, before time began, chose us and predestined us and initiated a relationship with us. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This passage says that a specific place in time in history, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. God the Son stepped out of eternity, took on humanity, and lived a perfect sinless life, and then died as a payment for our sin, and then rose again from the dead. And Titus chapter 3 says this about the work of the Spirit in our salvation. Titus 3 says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God saved us because we couldn't save ourselves. God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and that's extend grace to us that we might be saved. Bill Hybels, who was the founding pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, shares a story about how one summer he was on his summer vacation break and he loved sailing, and he put together a crew for his vacation to compete in a sailing race on Lake Michigan. And one of the guys who was part of the crew was not someone from his church, someone from the community and didn't know Christ. And so part of His goal for the summer was not only to sell in a race, but he wanted to be able to share with this guy, share the message of salvation. But throughout the summer and the rigors of the training and the competition, he just never had that, what he thought was that perfect moment. Well, the vacation was coming to an end, and he realized he needed to have a conversation with this guy, so he just put it out there and asked him if he understood what it meant to be in a relationship with Christ. And the guy had no clue. Bill Hybels said, he took out a piece of paper, and he said, well, let me tell you, this is what religion says it means to be in a relationship with God. And he wrote on the paper the word do, D-O. And he showed the guy and he said, it's all about what you do. How often you go to church, how much money you give, whether you've been baptized, whether you follow the rituals, whether you keep the Ten Commandments, whatever it is, it's all about what you do. And he said, but you know what? You can never do enough. He took the paper back and said, this is what Jesus says it means to be in a relationship with God. And he added two little letters, N-E. And he gave the piece of paper back to the guy. And he says, what's that say? And the guy said, done. He said, that's right. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done. See, what we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He paid the penalty for our sin. He lived a righteous life. He is our substitute before God. And we can come to God not on the basis of what we do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, because of his mercy, because he was rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, he saved us by grace. And what Ephesians 2 says is that salvation is a full connection and identification with Christ, because it says we were made alive with Christ, and we were raised up with Christ, and we were seated with Christ. Now, that's a lot to get your mind around. But what it is saying is that from God's vantage point, we're bound in time. But God, who created time and who is eternal, who lives outside of time, he looks down at us. And for any person who responds to that offer of grace and in faith receives Christ, they are seen as someone who has been made alive, raised up, and seated. In other words, their relationship with God is eternally secure because of what Christ has done. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. God has done everything for us. And in that moment, see, this is what it's talking about. In that moment where someone comes to understand this truth, and the grace of God is offered to them, and their response is one of faith, not works, but they believe what God has done in grace. Holy zap, in that very moment, they are made alive with Christ, raised up with Christ, and seated with Christ. And you know what? That's happened for a lot of people here. But if you're here this morning and you have never experienced that, here's the good news. When you open up your life to Jesus Christ and to his grace, and you stop trusting in what you do, but you just believe in what Christ has done, God can do the same thing for you. Because there is tremendous blessing in salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 tells us there's a need, there's blessing, and there's a result. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This passage says that we collectively, all of us who have come to this place of putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who have received that grace into our lives, who are saved because of God's grace in our lives, we're God's workmanship. We are a work in progress. Guys, you can look at your wife and say, hey, you know, give me some grace. I'm a work in progress. Wives, you can look at your husband and say the same thing. Maybe you just want to say you're a piece of work. But anyway, we're a work in progress. Hey, you may be a piece of work, but you're God's work. That's what the Bible says. We are his workmanship. There is a present tense working of God in our lives. We talk about here about crossing the line. It's an illustration that we share that implies that all of us are on a spiritual journey. But when we cross the line and we come into faith in Jesus Christ, we step into new life. Well, crossing the line is the first step, you know what, of a whole lot of other steps that follow it. And all of those steps are part of God's working in our life. In fact, this term, workmanship, is the Greek word poema. It's where we get the English word poem. It means something that's crafted, something that's been designed, something that's been created. And it has come to mean any piece of art. We're like masterpieces of God's creation. We're not just the result of, you know, some guy who has a hobby of fixing stuff in his garage. We are the work of a master artist. Last week I shared how my wife and I had the opportunity to be in Paris and we were in the Louvre and looking at the Mona Lisa. If you think of a poem, of a painting like the Mona Lisa or some tremendous work of art, you could stand there and look at it and see the beauty and see the strokes and how the colors blend together and how everything is just perfectly designed. If you had that opportunity, you would not be thinking in your mind, it's amazing how the paint just spilled on that canvas and kind of ran together and formed that. No, you would be mindful that a master artist put that together. Where our lives are to be a reminder that a master artist is at work, God Himself. We are God's workmanship. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Well, wait a minute, didn't you just say, JP, that we aren't saved by our works? That's exactly what I said. In fact, you need to see the relationship of this term in the passage. It says in Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Don't get the cart before the horse, but don't throw away the horse either. This passage is telling us that grace of God that totally wipes out our sin, that grace of God that overcomes whatever deficiency or inadequacy or dysfunction in our life, that grace of God that makes us alive with Christ and raises us up with Christ and seats us with Christ, that grace of God that saves us also changes us and produces good works through our lives. Well, what kind of good works are you talking about? Well, read the Bible. I mean, it's interesting. This past week, just read through the book of Acts, which is the kind of story of the first generation Christians. And I read every conversion account, every time it talks about people responding to the message. First thing, they got baptized. It always came afterwards. They heard the good news about Christ. They believed in their hearts they were saved. And then they were baptized. They made a public statement. I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe this message. I'm going to live my life for Christ now. Well, that was a good work that came after salvation. And then every command in the Bible is an opportunity for a good work. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anytime you do anything to love God or love your neighbor, that's a good work. Bible says in Romans 12:1-2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is. Well, anytime we present ourselves to God and we stop being conformed to this world and we engage in a process of transformation, that's a good work. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even the remotest parts of the earth. When we, in the power of the Spirit, tell people about Jesus, that's a good work. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Whenever we make a decision to seek first God's kingdom, that's a good work. James 1:26 says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit widows and orphans in their distress. Whenever we care for people and visit the less fortunate, the poor, widows, orphans, and we take care of them in Jesus' name, that's a good work. I mean, the Bible is filled with all kinds of tracks to run on in terms of the good works that we are to express because God's grace is working in our life. Now, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Did you know that God already has good works prepared for you to walk in? Boy, that kind of makes life exciting. I can get up every morning because I've opened up my life to the grace of God and say, God, what are the good works you have for me today? What is it today? What adventure do you have for me today? How can I love God and love people today? How can I step into good works today? What's the mission you have for me today? How can my life take on eternal significance today? Because I know you have good works for me today. And as I let your grace operate in my life, today is filled with opportunity. This past season of TV, one of my favorite shows was Heroes. Some of you might have seen that. Greg and I used to, you know, update each other every week about what was going on in Heroes. The story of this TV series is these guys find that they have superhuman powers, and they come together kind of as a team because they are given a picture of the future. And they've seen that a nuclear explosion is going to blow up in New York. And so they come together with their superpowers to try to stop that from happening because they got a view of the future and it was terrible, and so they're going to try to change it. Now, let's kind of change that scenario. Let's say that you had a clear picture of the future for your life and it was awesome. It was great. You saw all the things that God wanted to do to bless you. Would you work against that? Or would you get up every day thinking, how can I cooperate with God and step into it and make it a reality? Well, of course, you'd work with God. Well, let me tell you, God has given me and given you a picture of the future. Good works. He's prepared them already. And when a person opens up their life to the grace of God, because we all have a need, and they experience the mercy and the love of God in salvation, and they've been made alive with Christ, they've been raised up with Christ, and they're seated with Christ, the next steps are to step into the good works which God has prepared. See, everybody believes something about salvation. Whether you thought about it or not, you came in here this morning to this worship service, and you were believing something about salvation. If what you were believing was the truth, well, it's setting you free. And will set you free for all eternity. If what you have been believing about salvation is false, then it's holding you in bondage. And if you continue to believe it, it will hold you in bondage for all eternity, and you will be separated from God in hell. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I tell you, the saddest thing that I could imagine is if you were to leave here today holding on to a false view of salvation, believing a lie rather than believing the truth. Because the lie will always keep you in bondage, but the truth sets you free. This morning, the opportunity is to be set free by the truth. Last week, as we wrapped up the worship service and I came to a close and just kind of shared a little bit of the good news in response to the bad news. Five people said they wanted to receive Christ as Savior. And as I gave that invitation, five people said yes to Christ. This morning, you can say yes to Christ. And if you've never responded to God's grace, let this be the day of salvation for you.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, Do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. You know, the great theologian John Calvin said, "Grace alone saves, but the grace that saves is never alone." John Calvin understood the truth of Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, where it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." You see, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No works can ever save us. No religious deeds, no good efforts, no commitment to moral reformation, none of the things that we can bring on our own to God could ever save us. Isaiah said that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. So no one can be saved by good works. On the other hand, the gospel that grace alone saves is not a gospel of easy believism. It's not a gospel of license. It's not a gospel of saying, "Well, I believe in Jesus," but not experiencing any life transformation. No, in fact, the exact opposite is true. When a person, by grace, through faith, receives Jesus Christ into their life, they are transformed. They become a new person. They become a person whose life is characterized by good works. That's right. Christians demonstrate good works. Christians live different lives than those who don't know the Lord. Christians live lives of progressive transformation, of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It's like the game of golf. To be able to get the ball in the hole, you've got to hit it straight down the fairway. Now, you can hit it off to the right, or you can hit it off to the left. If we were standing on a golf course and we're looking down the fairway, it may be that off on the right are a bunch of trees and weeds, and off on the left is a water trap. Either way, to the right or to the left, is missing the path to getting the ball down the fairway into the cup. You can go to the right or you can go to the left, but to get the ball into the cup, you got to go right down the middle. That's where the truth lies. You see, it's like that in salvation as well. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that's the truth. And the truth is that that produces a life of good works. To the right might be trying to be saved by works, trying to do enough good things for God to accept you. That's a false gospel. That will never get you saved. On the left is the belief that all you have to do is say yes to Jesus and live any way you want to live. Your fire insurance is paid up and you can just keep on being the same old pagan you've always been. That is missing Jesus as well, because that's a false gospel. The true gospel is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, which produces a life of good works and transformation. God has good works for you as a saved person. Those works are generated and empowered by his grace in your life. They are not deeds of the flesh. They are not your religious offerings to commend yourself to God. They are the fruit of a transformed life. You see, you have to have life transformation. That's through grace, and it's through faith, and it's in Jesus Christ. But when that is real in a person, there will be transformation. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can't work for it. You have to accept God's gracious offer by faith. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to keep following Christ. You need to keep your step in line with Jesus Christ. You need to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. And that is a work of grace as he produces transformation in your life. You see, John Calvin had it right. It's grace alone that saves, but the grace that saves is never alone. Titus 2 tells us, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men and instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Salvation grace leads to godliness in our life. Would you ask God to give you that kind of salvation grace? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, save me by your grace and produce in me a godly life. May I be a disciple who demonstrates good works as I follow Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind, no turning back.